नोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामय्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधरश्रीवासदिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो विथ ड्यू रिस्पेक्ट टू डीन सर, डेप्यूटी डीन सर, ऑल द फैकल्टीज ओवर हियर एंड ऑल डॉक्टर्स एंड ऑल मेडिकल स्टूडेंट्स, आई एम वेरी वेरी हैप्पी एंड ऑनर्ड एंड ग्रेटफुल फॉर गेटिंग एन अपॉर्चुनिटी टू स्पीक टू ऑल ऑफ यू ऑन दिस यूनिक सब्जेक्ट मैटर ऑफ स्पिरिचुअल केयर इन मेडिसिन। स्पिरिचुअल केयर, टुडेज सिनेरियो इन द मेडिकल वर्ल्ड, वी ट्रैवल ऑल ओवर द वर्ल्ड एंड वी सी दैट स्पिरिचुअल केयर इज वेरी वेरी प्रिवेलेंट इन ऑल दिस वर्ल्ड। लॉट्स ऑफ रिसर्च हैज बीन डन इन स्पिरिचुअल केयर एंड वॉट वी सी वेरी टिपिकली इन ऑल द यूके, यूएस, यूरोपियन एंड ईस्टर्न हॉस्पिटल्स दैट स्पिरिचुअल केयर इज अ सब्जेक्ट मैटर विच जनरली पीपल कंसिडर फैमिलियल केयर, इमोशनल केयर, सोशल केयर एंड स्पिरिचुअल केयर। And we can see in the medical field, there is so much of stress coming up every day. I'm sure all of you know, all of you are postgraduate specialist, super specialist. Even medical students at our times were so peaceful, so happy. We used to apply for PG in our own college and we used to get admission there. Nowadays all India, all Maharashtra entrances are there. So medical students are under stress. When they become doctor, they also are under stress because they have to work very hard, there are a lot of demands, patients have become very aware and a lot of demands are there from patients. Also legal aspects are developing like foreign countries over here. So in short, to summarize, our field in medicine is becoming day to day in lots of stress. You will be very surprised to know the average life of a doctor is reducing day by day by the statistics that is coming up. Especially psychiatrists, the lifespan of psychiatrists is reducing very, very fast. Orthopedic surgeons, general surgeons, heart surgeons, brain surgeons, neurosurgeons, all these people are under so much stress because of the lifestyle is so hectic. There is no suitable time for taking their meals, time for taking enough nap in the night, sleep in the night. Because of that, the medical doctors are also undergoing a lot of stress and their healths are going down. And that is why we need a lot of understanding and retrospection, sinhavalokan, to see exactly what is happening to us. The famous saying in the world, in the history, that physician heal thyself. That healing is from spiritual point of view, from emotional point of view, because even before becoming a doctor, that doctor is a person. He is father of somebody, husband of somebody, son of somebody, son-in-law of somebody. So in short, medical field also is getting more and more stressed out. In nursing field, we know that the nurse has to play a role of a mother, a daughter-in-law, a daughter, and also a nurse. And she works 3 shifts in a day, I mean, turn by turn. And lots of stress is there. She is getting stretched at all the different roles that she's playing at home, in the office, in the hospitals. And in government, you know, of course, a long story. It can be another Puran, what's happening at the government level as far as health is concerned. There's so much of stringent laws and so much of even your organization and our organization. I'm definitely trying to serve society at large, at free of cost and charitable way. But there are so many rules and regulations and so many grants and there are so much of corruption available for us to go through all those things and still serve the society in good consciousness. So with this scenario, we all see and understand and feel there is a great need of spirituality to understand who are we, what is my identity, what is my role as a professional, as a nurse, as a doctor in society, and how do I connect myself with myself first and then to the origin of myself, that is God. And how to reconcile this union and how to help ourselves with this union to serve ourselves and to serve the needy people at the best possible way. And that is why spiritual care is becoming more and more important. And I feel that Spiritual care should be understood, learned, and practiced right from the day one of medical education. When we take admission into medical school, from that time onwards, this spiritual education should be into practice, because when one comes out as a doctor in the medical world, there's so much of pressure upon us to perform, to become successful, to become a good doctor. And at that time, plus then we get married and we have families to look after. So all those learning phases of life apparently gets over when we come out in the medical field to practice. So the best time when we study medicine, learn medical science in a very beautiful way, at that time only we should inculcate the values of spirituality in our personality, so that when we come out with fully equipped. Like we have a sword in the hand and we also know how to use the sword in a very legitimate way for the welfare of society. But in current scenario in the world, spiritual care is provided in medical institutes at the end of life. When people are dying, when medical help actually fails in one sense, and we say, now he will be no more supported by medical care, he will not improve. You take him home or put him to old age home and pray to God. So that time spiritual care or chaplaincy comes into existence. And at the same time, most of the places spiritual care is provided on demand. The patient is there in the hospital and he says, I want chaplaincy services. Then the chaplain is called, or spiritual care giver is called, and the care is given. But right now I would like to introduce you to the model of spiritual care that has been practiced in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Let me introduce you to this hospital. It's a small hospital. I feel like a small entity in front of all of you. Your hospital is very big. But suffice to say, our hospital is 180-bedded multi-speciality hospital. And we only don't have right now MRI, which is coming up very soon. And we don't have tertiary care in the form of high-level brain surgeries. But we have neurological surgeries. We have now CVTS, we have cardiology. Everything is there. Radiotherapy unit is coming, and that's how the cancer center is also getting completed. We are based in Mira Road. That is a suburb outside of Bombay, just at the border of Bombay. And we have a unique department called Department of Spiritual Care. This department is a very professional department, has about 35 people working who are medical doctors and non-medical people also, who are trained in giving spiritual care. And just to make you understand, this is our mission statement, which says, with love and devotion, we will offer everyone. Everyone is in capital because there is no differentiation of any kind, social status, education, caste, creed, religion, language, as such. We will offer everyone a modern, scientific and holistic healthcare services. The holistic word, I will elaborate in two ways. One is, we have holistic means we have allopathy, acupuncture, Ayurveda, magnetotherapy, and variety of medical types of care that we provide. So mainstream is allopathy, but also allied care is simultaneously in one building we practice in a very harmonious way. And another way is holistic means we also give bodily care, care to the mind and care to the soul. So body, mind and soul. So a modern, scientific, holistic healthcare service based on true awareness and understanding of the needs of the body, mind and soul. Generally all the medical care in the world is giving very excellent care in body level, very excellent care in mind level, psychiatry level, psychological level, counseling. But the understanding of the soul and the need of the soul for taking, being given care of, is lacking. Spiritual care, by definition, is a process of nourishing a person with compassion. Because if we become doctors and we don't develop compassion and service attitude, then our care actually is incomplete. Compassion is a very important ingredient of medical care. Compassion, kindness, service attitude, feeling bad for those who are suffering, feeling pain for people who are in pain. So, person with compassion and knowledge of the soul and Supreme Lord. Because unless and until we know who a person is, by definition a person is spirit soul. And the spirit soul by definition is part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit Soul, Paramatma. So with that knowledge and compassion, and with personal counseling, because spiritual care is very individualistic, it is not general, it is not summoned through the masses. When the patient comes to the bedside, he is a unique case, he has got unique problem. unique history, unique diagnosis, and unique treatment is being given to him. So spiritual care also is very individualistic, at the bedside, one-to-one, which is in the form of personal counseling. And also it is aimed at helping the person to connect him with Supreme Lord on the level of body, mind and soul. Ultimately, spiritual care is that care where connection of the soul with the super soul is the most important ingredient. In our Bhaktivedanta Hospital spiritual care model, spiritual care is provided to each and every patient without discrimination, from atheistic people to spiritually advanced people. Because it is generic in nature, the spiritual care is not restricted to those people who are not God conscious or godly or God believing. It is given equally to atheistic people. At the same time, when a saintly person walks in, he also has different kind of spiritual care needs. Even those are addressed. So there are people who are trained for that. Because at every level, like we have a child, we have a young man, we have old people, we have old people. All those people have different medical, different emotional, different spiritual care needs. And based on their understanding, this care is provided. Most important aspect of spiritual care, it is given from womb to the tomb. Right from the day, time of conception, when the lady becomes pregnant, having a child in the womb. From that time, we start giving care. We have various beautiful programs for pregnant ladies, for first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, delivery and lactation up to 6 months after birth. It is called as Garbha Samskar. In our Vedas, even Garbha Dana Samskar is explained. Even before conception, what kind of spiritual activities and what kind of performances are to be done, that training is given, even that training we give. But that is a very super specialized training. Something like we also hear Poo Samvan Vidhi. They are also part of Garbha Dana Samskar. But generally people come to us when they are pregnant. They come to antenatal care, register themselves. So that time we propose them to join our Garbha Samskar. It is a 6-session course and it goes over all over the year. So all patients who are in the middle of their different trimesters of pregnancy, they are coming and getting this help. So from womb, then there is a birth care. And then it ends with death care, end of life care. In the technical terms called end of life care. And most of the people in the world, in the medicine or medical field, you understand that when our medical services fail, we just say, now you can take him home, we can't do anything more. The chemotherapy is not working, the surgery is not working, the radiotherapy has failed to work anymore now. You please wait and pray to God. At that time, a special program of spiritual care is designed to provide those people from the time the medical fraternity has given them up to us and death has not yet invited that personality to go through. In that period, we give end-of-life care, or we call it as palliative care, basically defined as comfort-giving care. So, our spiritual care is from womb to the tomb. It is not only for the sick people who come to the hospital, but also those who are healthy as well. Who are healthy in the hospital? Those who are staff members, those who are doctors. They are not apparently ill that time. Even to them, the spiritual care programs are planned, and various different programs, like right from the housekeeping people to nursing people to administrative people and to medical fraternity also, variety of spiritual care programs are planned. And then we have a unique spiritual care is right from OPD, when patient come to outpatient, then they get admitted. So we have spiritual care at bedside. Like we have nurses for each and every bed, we allocate all our nursing staff to the total number of beds in the hospital like you do. We also do the same thing. Our spiritual care staff look after all the beds in the hospital, like 10 beds in ICU or 10 beds in general ward or 10 beds in the surgical ward, like that. And then each and every patient gets a customized spiritual care. And then the patient gets discharged, and then we have so many spiritual care programs for after discharge. They come again back to the hospital. That time they are not sick. They come with interest because they are sensitized. And there are various programs. One of them is a 6-day, 7-day course of science of self-realization. And then that ends in pilgrimage. That's why I wrote here, from bedside care to pilgrimage. That means the patient, when they get really spiritually interested, they are even taken to pilgrimage from our department of spiritual care. The model of spiritual care at our hospital is based on match formula. And match formula goes like this. M goes for mercy. All of you know that mercy is a very important ingredient in healing process. Lifestyle which is free from violence, and lifestyle which is filled with mercy. The eating style, diet style also which is free from violence and free endowed with mercy. Austerity is second part. Austerity means ability to follow rules and regulations. All of us know we prescribe medicine to our patients and we tell them some pathya. Don't eat this, don't drink this, and don't do this. Then our medicines will work well with you. That is called as rules and regulations. The medicine will give the best result when the patient follows the pathya very nicely. So austerity also is way of lifestyle where certain rules and regulations are followed in life. Nowadays, you know, lifestyle medicine is coming up. I'm sure in future there will be a medicine branch which will be for lifestyle management. So austerity is basically guiding people to follow certain rules and regulations of purity, of existence, so that they can live healthily for the level of body, mind and soul. Then comes truthfulness, honesty. I'm sure all of you medical students and doctors and fraternity over here know that honesty is so important in the medicine. Even the form of nursing practice, medical practice, in our own working and our own teachings, we need a lot of honesty, a lot of truthfulness, so that we can face the patients with proud heart, with clarity in the heart, and we can deal with them nicely. And fourth point is cleanliness. Cleanliness is divided into cleanliness of our surroundings, of our body, of our mind, and of our soul. And this we teach in very elaborate way in our hospital, how to keep shuchi or pavitriya in our life at the level of surroundings, body, mind and soul. And last is holy name. Holy name is a integral ingredient of the spiritual care model of our hospital, because holy name is the most easy and sublime method of connecting ourselves with the Supreme Lord. So this is MATCH, match formula. It's a very elaborate one. We give a 2.5 hour presentation on the match formula. And typical nature of spiritual care is, spiritual care is generic in nature. This must be emphasized over here. Because generally, in Western world, if you go to European countries, especially in UK, spiritual care means Christian care. It has to be baptism, it has to be church. But the spiritual care true concept, as per our Vedas, is generic in nature. Our Vedas do not deal with people as per their religion. Religion is a particular life that we live. We are born in particular family, that's why we are particular religion. I am born Hindu, that's why I follow Hindu religion. Somebody is born in Christianity, he follows Christian religion. But we should understand that it can be changed. I can become Christian tomorrow. I can become Muslim tomorrow. I can become Buddhist tomorrow. So we go beyond that. Spirituality is that is not changeable. Spirit soul is eternal part and parcel of God and it has no religion. The religion is imposed upon us after that. So spirituality is the genuine connection between the Lord and the soul. That is why when we give spiritual care to our patient, it should not be differentiating between caste and creed and language and religion. So our spiritual care is generic in nature. Even if we are from particular institution, like I follow the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy and my pathway and my sampradaya and my Guru Maharaj is in Gaudiya Sampradaya. But when I treat a Christian patient, I will give him spiritual care which is encouraging to his understanding and his faith. When I connect with a Muslim patient, I will give him my care to encourage him in his faith. That is the meaning of generic spiritual care. Secondly, spiritual care is offered to everyone free of charge. Why? I mean, in Navale Hospital, everything is free over here. So much kindness and compassion is exhibited already over here. But we also don't charge spiritual care, because spiritual care is coming from God, free of charge for us. God has given His holy name to us, His compassion, kindness to us. He has not charged us anything. His kindness is ocean-like. He is ocean of compassion, Karuna Sagar. That is why the spiritual care, people visit the beds, they enter their visit like doctors enter, but there is no charge for that. Our temple, which is in Chopati, in Girgaon, supports the whole spiritual care activity as the extension counter of our temple itself. To give people spiritual knowledge, to induct them, to inspire them, and make their life very happy and blissful. Third point is, spiritual care by definition is voluntary in nature. What is the meaning of voluntary nature? That means when patient comes to the hospital and he is admitted, he may be having some acute pain, maybe headache, maybe some abdominal pain, maybe giddiness or various ailments acutely may be there. At that time, the spiritual care person goes and the patient may say, not now, I am not well now, maybe I'll see you later on. So that way it is voluntary. And some person may say, I don't believe in all these things, I'm an atheistic person. He is also not forced to hear. But the generic atmosphere is there. There is holy name resounding in the hospital. The walls are decorated with nice pictures of God. There is holy, sanctified, lacto-vegetarian diet is given to them. There is a temple in the hospital. There is darshan of Tulsi Devi. There is so much of holy atmosphere is there. Through the atmosphere, they get general spiritual care. But direct one-to-one customized spiritual care is voluntary in nature. Whenever the patient is in good mood and he is willing, at that time it is offered to him. Sometimes patient go to the out of the hospital discharged, also without receiving direct discussion with the spiritual care people, because it is their choice to receive or not receive. In that case, the spiritual care is voluntary in nature. And the fourth point is, spiritual care is offered in a very customized manner with expert guidance. Like we have every individual, as an individual case, and we have an individual plan of treatment for every patient medically. We don't give same medication to everybody. So like that, each and everybody comes to the hospital with their package. For example, somebody may come with a fever of unknown origin. Last 1 month, he is frustrated and he has gone to all doctors and all tests have been done. And then we have a particular way of treatment. We have a particular way of, maybe he comes with, along with fever with unknown origin, he comes with about to get divorced with his wife. Or his son has got cancer, he is admitted in the other Tata hospital in Bombay. Or he may have financial difficulty. He may have just his house burnt under fire mishap in his village. So he comes with medical element, but he has got a typical background with him, which he comes with. And that is bothering him. And also his healing process of that particular disease is also affected by the background that he is coming with. That is why each and every patient is dealt with in a very unique personal way. We sit with each other together, then we also have meetings in our department and discuss the strategy of handling that patient. Some difficulties are faced at time, also we come together and discuss those difficulties and accordingly deal with the patient. And the spiritual care doesn't end when the patient is in the hospital, and in fact it begins only in the hospital. Sensitization or inspiration begins in the hospital, and actually after discharge the spiritual care takes shape, takes consolidation, goes ahead and progresses. And that's how the patient actually starts understanding what spirituality is and how it will ultimately help him in his body and mind for healthy living. So spiritual care, for example, when we are in the hospital, patient comes in, what do we first do practically? We have two forms that we fill up. One is a diet form, one is lifestyle form. And a lot of information is gathered in the lifestyle form and diet form. For example, the patient will tell you, he sleeps at 4 in the morning. He gets up at 11:30 in the morning, takes his breakfast at 1 p.m., takes his lunch at 6 o'clock in the evening, and takes his dinner at 2 a.m. in the morning. So a lot of information is gathered there only. There's a lot of lifestyle difficulties that he has already got. In the diet that he may have wrong things at wrong time, quantity is wrong, and the timetable is different. So we begin from that point, from health issue only, and gradually it boils down to emotional care, then it boils down to spiritual understanding. So it takes time. And then we enroll them for various health courses. We have diet courses. We have a program called Premanjali. In that Premanjali, there's a one lecture on a particular medical topic and a particular lecture on the spiritual topic. So people come together after discharge and they get sensitized. Then we enroll them for the 7-day course of science of self-realization with health issues discussed. So like that, my point in explaining the fourth point is that everything is customized, individualistic, and very caring in a personal way. What do we want to achieve ultimately in the goal, as a goal of spiritual care? The goal of spiritual care is to create harmony of the patient with Mother Nature and to the will of the Supreme Lord. Because most of the times you know that we come to a dead end. And we know that patient has to accept the situation as it is. For example, commonly we know hypertension and diabetes. And in a super specialty way, we know that somebody is having a grade 4 cancer in the body, a variety of kinds, with metastasis everywhere else. Most of the difficulties the patients have because they do not accept the reality as it is. And I'm sure all of us doctors know who are treating patients. When, as soon as patient accepts his reality as it is, it becomes very easy for us to deal with him. But most of our energy goes into what? In trying to convince him that what it is, it is. It is not be changeable. We are trying our best. But you have to first understand and accept whatever it is going to be there. Like a diabetic has to, in a common scenario, a diabetic has to understand that he will live with some diabetes whole throughout his life, if not completely cured. And a cancer stage 4 patient has to also understand that any chemotherapy, any radiotherapy, any surgery is not going to work anymore now. He has to live with this, and he may have a lifespan of 6 months to 2 years from that point onwards. So spiritual care basically aims to make the patient understand, because we know that we have different stages of grief. The grief begins with shock. When the news comes, we get shocked. Then there's a denial. No, no, it's not because of me. It's somebody else's news, not my news. Please check the reports again. Then comes anger. Now you know it's my report only, and then I get angry. My mother did not take me to the doctor in time. My husband didn't take me to the specialist in time. And I was abroad. My office didn't let me go to doctors because they were not giving me leave. So he expresses anger on certain people because he was diagnosed. After he settles with the anger, then he comes to bargaining. Then he will say that, doctor, please take this 10 lakh rupees and find the best treatment in the world on internet, and I am ready to spend any amount of money. Then he will go to some nurses and say, take this 500 rupees, go to your church, go to your temple and do some puja or saman to your Lord and pray to him that somehow I want to get well. So he's bargaining emotionally, socially and medically. When his bargaining fails, then he gets depressed. And typical sign of a depressed patient is that he says, डॉक्टर आप तो मुझे बोल रहे हो कि 3 महीने के बाद मेरी जीवन समाप्त हो जाएगा, लेकिन मुझे अभी एक इंजेक्शन लगा दो, अभी मार दो. इट्स टिपिकल स्टेटमेंट ऑफ मेनी कैंसर पेशेंट्स और एड्स पेशेंट. दे से आई डोंट वांट टू सफर फॉर नेक्स्ट 6 months और 2 years इन द सेम डिसीज. आई वांट टू डाई टुडे ओनली. इट्स अ टिपिकल साइन ऑफ अ पर्सन हु इज इन डिप्रेशन. एंड वी हैंडल डिप्रेशन एंड गेट हिम आउट ऑफ डिप्रेशन. देन ही कम्स आउट ऑफ डिप्रेशन एंड ही कम्स टू स्टेज ऑफ एक्सेप्टेंस दैट यस, I am a patient of grade 4 myeloma, acute myeloid leukemia. My life is only 3 to 6 months from now. And doctor, let me know now, what can I do in this next 6 months? That is the stage which we want to achieve in the patient through spiritual care, so that those precious 6 months to 2 years or whatever number of years or months that he has, we give him quality life. Quality life in terms of what is basically can be offered at health level, at the mental, emotional level and a spiritual level, so that he enjoys each and every moment of his remaining life, not constantly suffering, complaining, getting frustrated. So the first goal of spiritual care is to create harmony with Mother Nature, so that he can live life in harmony with our lifestyle, with the Mother Nature that is providing, and whatever will the Lord has exhibited in his life. And then unite him with the Supreme Lord in love and devotion. I'm telling you, in our hospital, we have seen so many frustrated and depressed patients ultimately very happily living all those months, all those precious moments of their life in a very happy condition till the last moment of their birth, of their life. So now I will summarize this, that all these principles that I briefly explained to you are actually seminars of 2.5 hours each, whatever points I made. But to summarize all this front of you, we have made this with these slides. And there's a department of spiritual care which has a lot of beautiful practices that is inbuilt in the hospital. So I begin with that. First is the prayers. All our staff members, nurses, doctors, administrators, housekeeping, maintenance department, all 36 departments that we have, now there are 45. All those departments by default come once in the morning before their duty for prayers. 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 2 p.m. and 9 p.m. 3 shifts and 1 general shift. All the people, before joining the duties, they come together in front of our spiritual master and they offer prayers and hear a 5-minute upadesh from spiritual scriptures and start their duty. Then of course, there are many things which we do, but now I have come to spiritual care straight. This lady is our spiritual care assistant, fully trained. She is taking now the lifestyle and diet form of the patient as soon as the patient is admitted. Then our spiritual care department also hosts a temple in the hospital. It's a full-time temple and there are services done by volunteers. But those people who cannot visit the temple because they are already in some IV connections and some tubes are connected to them, like catheters. So our mobile temple goes to them. Each and every patient receives a mobile temple. And even if nobody comes to visit the patient in the evening hours, the three lordships, Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra, come at their bedside And from 4 o'clock to 7:30 in the evening, including the visiting hours of 5 to 7, this temple goes around everywhere, from OPD to pathology to other investigation centers, then to wards, to ICU, everywhere it goes, keeping the standards of sterility. Then when patients are ambulatory, there are sessions of counseling done together with the relatives. There's one patient here and there are relatives here. And discussions are done, because a lot of times the spiritual counseling requires and needs people from family also. It is not that only patient is counseled. The patient and the affected parties, in the close ones in the family, are also provided spiritual care. And at times when patient is not ambulatory, is in the bed, at bedside our spiritual care, like for example, this lady is our spiritual care assistant. This is a relative and this is a patient. And she is discussing many issues which are beyond health with the patient. Then most of them, the result, and it goes into the result that the patient accepts the process of meditation. So our spiritual care assistant here is giving the scripture and the holy beads to chant the holy name of the Lord. And that has resulted into, we are doing 27 researches in our Department of Clinical Research, how spiritual practices affect the health of the patient and the outcome of the patient's disease, how it is affect. We are doing 27, of course, in 2 years' time, those 27 researches will result into some facts and figures will present to the world. So here the spiritual care assistant is providing the means and methods and training how to practice the meditation. Then when doctor's round is done, nurse's round is done, patient has gone through all investigation, now he's sitting in the ward, looking at the wall, worrying when to get discharged, how to get discharged, how to pay the bills. At that time, our spiritual care staff goes and asks them, do you want us to read something for you? Are you interested in hearing, reading some stories? So as per their religion and their faiths, their own scriptures or books are read to the patient. We have many volunteers. And this, I'm suggesting all of you also, reading from holy scriptures to the bedside at the hospital is a very wonderful thing for the occupation of the patient's mind. At the same time, diverting his attention from his existing ailments. It gives him a lot of relief and happiness while he's in the hospital. While hospitals are not generally happy places, nobody wants to come to hospital because of a lot of reasons are there. So lots of time is spent in counseling, at the same time reading the holy scriptures. Then this is a very important scenario. You can see our spiritual care assistant here is counseling a patient who is just going to a major surgery. And all of you understand that patients have so much anxiety. Even a small cataract surgery, the previous night the patient doesn't sleep because of anxiety. So every patient preoperatively requires counseling. And we have dedicated people in operation theater who are only standing there. As soon as patient come from the ward to the preoperative area, our ladies go, our gents go there and counsel them and give them a lot of strength. Don't worry, I'm standing here praying for you. When you come out, I'll be standing to receive you here postoperatively when you are recovering from anesthesia. I will assist you to go to the ward. I'm constantly standing here and praying for you. So you can see she's trained to hold the hand, touch the head, the forehead and speak to her in a very compassionate manner. This is a very typical patient. This is a photograph from Bhaktivedanta Hospice, Vrindavan. This patient was a rickshaw driver. He lost his wife when she gave birth to the first son. And he raised the son driving rickshaw. And one fine day, after 20 years, he developed a cancer of the spine, which made him no more drive rickshaw in Mathura district. He became jobless, he became penniless, he was thrown out of the accommodation where we had rented the accommodation. He was sitting on the road one day with his son. At that time our hospice vehicle was coming from home care. And we talked to the patient, he said, I have no house, I have got a spine cancer. So we picked him up and brought to the hospice and gave him complete care till the end, gave him job to his son as a watchman. And this is my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. He met him. And uniquely, this person was about, maybe this photograph is about 15 days before his death. But this person said, whatever God does is perfect and I have no regrets. I have taken care of my son. God has introduced me to all of you people and I was in dire need. He has helped me. So he was in perfect acceptance. And mostly in India, you will find people in this situation. But most people also need help to come to that situation. This is a very good patient and scenario. Then as per the patient's religion, if patient is Christian, he is given readings from Bible. If patient is Muslim, he is given readings from Holy Quran. We encourage them to do readings from their scriptures to give them spiritual strength during the difficult times of their life. And this is typical speciality of our hospital. We have developed this subject in great length and depth. This is called as end of life care. When patient is about to die, that is called as active dying process. When the chain stroke breathing starts getting established, it takes about 7 to 8 hours from then to actually die. So that time, our whole spiritual care team, our palliative care team comes to the patient. There's a system in the hospital where when the patient goes in that stage, the nurses are trained. They give a call to our department, and all throughout the day, 24/7, we have call system and we reach there. And while the medical fraternity, nursing people are giving their final care, we come in and give our spiritual care to the patient. And sometimes it takes over 3 to 4 hours also. You can see again, this is a terminally ill patient. He was a mendicant. He had a cirrhosis of liver. He was only 29 years of age. You know, portal hypertension, esophageal varices, everything, complication, whatever you expect in cirrhosis was there with him. He was there with us for 3.5 months. And in that 3.5 months, he underwent a lot of ICU admissions back in and out, again and again. He went into crisis. He went into hepatic encephalopathy. He was delirious. Again, he came back to normal. He had a desire that he wanted to read a scripture, which he could not read in his active spiritual life, young days. So he expressed his desire. So our spiritual caregiver, very senior nurse and a trained spiritual caregiver from Germany, she read the volume called Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a 17 volume scripture. In the 3.5 months period, he heard from her the whole scripture and was very, very happy and fulfilled that before he died, he wanted to go through that scripture. So I'm trying to explain to you that spiritual care is a very wholesome body, mind and soul completely involved in that care. And patients are given all kinds of care. Even sometimes a guitar player comes and plays guitar because patients feels happy and free from pain when he hears guitar because he loves guitar. So that kind of help is given. Anything on earth that makes people feel comfortable at that time and makes him free from pain, that facilities are made available in our hospital. Then he is a Muslim patient who is just about to die, and all the relatives and our spiritual care people come together and give them care. And many a times these people will say, please do your rituals. We are reading our Quran, we are reading our namaz. We will do this simultaneously. So many of our patients who are staying some time before death, if there is time before death, we develop a good rapport, and then they will say that, you please keep doing whatever you are doing. We have full faith in you and we will keep doing our namaz along with you when you are giving your care. Then this is actually a dead patient. He has just died. He is a patient who died in the bomb blast in 2006. We had about 44 patients who were brought in from the blast which happened close by to the hospital. 22 died on the spot. They all received spiritual care as soon as they came in. And remaining patients who were struggling with life in ICU, they also were constantly given spiritual care. Now, spiritual care means what exactly? Patient is unconscious. Then we send people to pray for the patient. We administer holy waters to the patient. We chant the holy name as per the religion of the patient. And we involve relatives because spiritual care cannot be given only to the patient. Spiritual care is given as a family unit to the patient and the dear and near ones who are closely to the patient. Everybody receives spiritual care. So at the end, we give holy waters, holy name, and we read some holy scriptures. So this lady is reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita to this patient who just left her body. This is another patient where I am myself giving end of life care. She was struggling with life and death for last about 4 hours. And when her actually chain stroke breathing started, I sat with her and I was monitoring her pulse and also monitoring her oxygen level, pulse oximeter, everything. At the same time, I gathered a team, brought Tulsi Devi, offered prayers, offered consolation to the relatives, involved all of them, settled down some prayers for the patient in the room itself. We have a very unique system. When we come to know that patient is now not going to survive with all our help, we take a consent of relatives and take the patient out of ICU and give them a deluxe room, which is very spacious for 300 square feet. And then all those who can't go to ICU to see the patient who is beloved, all of the relatives are officially invited and welcome in the room, closed doors. And they can all come together with our spiritual care team, offer prayers, offer their last interactions, emotional interactions, whatever we have, and fulfill all their desires. If they want to meet some priest before dying, we take the history, that is called advanced directives. We prepare all the chart exactly when the patient will go to near-death situation, what all things you want us to perform. Call the priest, get the holy materials and implement them on the patient. So this is a patient who is our mother of our deputy director at general administration, and we provided care, and she in a very glorious way left this world. And all our staff, when they lose their relatives in our hospital, they say, we are very sorry that we have lost our relatives, but we are very happy that we lost them in this hospital. And they say, doctor, if ever I die, please take consent from me. Please bring me to this hospital to die. Because death is also a very important event of life as much as birth is. And as we take birth with dignity, we also need to die with dignity, with respect, and with all the spiritual atmosphere that we deserve. This is a patient who is 31-year-old, just married. This is his wife. She was pregnant when he was diagnosed with adenocarcinoma of lungs. She was 3 months pregnant. In the course of time when we underwent all the treatments in the hospital, about 3.5 months, she delivered a baby. You can see the situation. There is a situation of his adenocarcinoma which is already metastasized everywhere in the body. He is about to face death. In the meantime, wife has delivered. There is a just newborn infant in the hand. This lady is his sister who works with me as spiritual caregiver. This is a family. You can see our spiritual caregiver. This is my spiritual master. So 21 people were, youngsters were gathered. They worked for 3 shifts in a day for 3.5 months. And they gave all kinds of physical care, all kinds of emotional, financial care, gathered the help for the patient. We settled the baby with good financial help. We, you know, invited many institutions to help, settled them down, told the patient, don't worry, all your wife, all your children's welfare is taken care of. And all his desires, how to die, was noted down as advanced directives. What all things he desires when he will face death ultimately. And all that was done, and he desired in his will that I want to die in the temple when I go into active stage of dying. So that time he was taken into temple, and there were 200 devotees waiting for him. And in the middle of tumultuous prayers done sincerely by loving devotees, he passed his from this world in the presence of his guru and deities of the Lord and the spiritual master. So all that is monitored by Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And you can see here a typical hospice patient. I have got maybe hundreds of photos like this, but I am only showing you one here. She died exactly after 7 days of this picture, and somehow her birthday came before 7 days of her death. And you can see she is in the end stage cancer in tremendous pain. But because we have a department of spiritual care and the department of palliative medicine, they have arranged this function of birthday for her at her home, because we also provide home care. There is something called inpatient care, something called home care. So she is cutting her birthday cake on her deathbed actually. But she is so happy actually. And then we have also post-death care. For example, there is another patient, Meenakshi Naik, who died. She had a daughter and husband. And daughter, you know, we gave her all kind of care after the mother died. I gave her admission in our school. And she is now studying 11th standard. And they were given complete knowledge of spiritual care. They were counseled after death of her mother, and of course the wife of the patient, I mean the husband of the patient also was aggrieved. So we gave them called as bereavement care, which is given after death for about 13 months. Now it went on till 5 years. The husband and the daughter is fully taken care of, and they were made to understand this is the will of the Lord and this is the reality, and we have to live with this reality. Now they are all spiritual practitioners. So what I am trying to tell you is that spiritual care is not only given to the patient, given to all members of family, it is given from womb to tomb, and all kinds of situations can be handled with specialized, customized plan to help the patient to accept the situation as it is and to face it nicely and bravely, and to leave the world also very peacefully in harmony with the reality of the world. Thank you very much. Now my plan was that after this brief, very, very brief introduction to the concept of spiritual care, I wanted to have questions from all of you. If you have, I would like to address it, because the topic is very vast. We have taken about 20 years to establish this department and develop so many activities of this department. Like, our primary focus is on the patient, and there are multiple programs going for our patients, like normal patients, ICU patients, NICU patients, operated patients, dying patients. There are so many varieties of spiritual care that has been devised for a variety of patients. Then second focus goes on our employees. We have about 750 employees on our paper, and 150 outsourced, so 900 employees. And each category of employees is addressed differently. Like housekeeping, nursing addressed differently, doctors addressed differently, administrators are addressed differently. At various forums, we address them, meet them one-to-one also, and provide our spiritual care. Then there is spiritual care for youth, Bhaktivedanta Hospital Youth Foundation, where the youth is attracted of all caste and creed to come for social cause, also to develop themselves. Empowerment of youth, like our Keshavananda Prabhu also is working in Pune. We are working in Bombay at the auspices of Bhaktivedanta Hospital Youth Forum. And there is a hospice in Vrindavan. And there is a Barsana, that is 50 kilometers from Mathura station. There is a village called Barsana where we have free eye services over there for last 22 years. So like that, spiritual care has many, many, many branches and many, many different understandings and different audiences to receive. And I will really invite our Dean Sir and Deputy Dean Sir and our faculties to come to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. It's a small unit of 1.75 acres. But it will be a unique place to visit because it is a hospital with difference. The difference is Department of Spiritual Care. Our specialty is spiritual care, and without spiritual care, our hospital has no meaning actually. That's what we believe in. So if there are any questions, before I show the last film to you, I would like to invite some questions. Yes, sir. Do you have microphone? Cordless microphone? Or maybe you can ask, I will repeat your question.
There
sir.
Are no questions.
Yes, sir.
But I just want to share my experience.
Yes, sir.
For Bhaktivedanta Hospital, Mira Road.
Oh.
Which I had 3 days back.
Wow.
Last
what
Saturday,
a coincidence.
Last Saturday I was there. And I had undergone an angiography. And after that, your spiritual care team who had come there.
Oh.
Right, as you rightly said, I have had an experience. They noted down my lifestyle. And gave me, and they also told one thing, which I think I forgot to mention, that they also arranged picnics
yes.
for the
patients
and the relatives.
Yes.
And she said the next one is coming up recently. She's noted down my
yes.
details.
Yes.
And she said she'll be inviting us.
What a coincidence of
so
my speaking.
And experience of this picnic.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. The picnic is going to be in our eco village.
Yeah.
That's called Govardhan Eco Village.
Yeah.
That's our hospital's farmhouse of 70 acres, and there we have organic farming and cow protection and everything.
That's what she told us.
Yes.
And she also offered to post us a book.
Journey Home.
She said which is normally in English, Hindi, but she'll give us the English.
We have that book in 27 languages.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. That's called Journey Home. Oh.
So I have a first-hand experience of your hospital, and not just 3 days.
Thank you so much for supporting my words here. Because here, when I come, I only bring my words. But experience is over there. Thank you so much. I'll just elaborate on this, for, as sir said, that we have a department of cardiology, where we have set up a very unique spiritual OPD in cardiology. So all those patients who are now nominated for angiography or angioplasty or bypass surgery, whatever it is, or CVTS, they also by default undergo a free OPD. Discussion with the spiritual care, her name is Gaurangi Sanyal, and she will discuss with you, and mainly she will give you guidance of diet and lifestyle and health and everything. And when you undergo angiography or angioplasty, a lot of anxiety is there. All the heart patients are very high tension department. When they undergo angioplasty, angiography, it's very difficult. So we have set up a specialized OPD in cardio OPD itself of spiritual care. And then after the OPD also patients are given guidances. And then all those patients who are now undergone angiography, angioplasty, they are taken to a one-day retreat in our farm. And there we spend a whole day with them explaining the dietetics, the lifestyle, the yoga, the spiritual summons, the session of meditation, outing, being with the cows, swimming in the pond that we have made there. So it's a holistic health experience along with spirituality for given for one day. And like that, maybe once in a month we take about 20 patients over there. And now by this example of Department of Cardiology, many other departments are going to come forward, like Department of Oncology and Oncosurgery and Department of Medicine and Surgery also are coming up to take their patients to a spiritual retreat. It's a very wonderful thing because many of us are living very wrong lifestyles, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. We are sometimes forced with the wrong lifestyle. You don't want to. But Our job as at spiritual care is to tell people, even though you know what we are talking, you are medical people, you know that. But still, when we hear it again and again, then it inspires us. And for that, we take them one day out and then inspire us, and they write down their promises that we will do this now, we'll sleep in time, we'll eat in time, we'll not eat wrong things, and we'll not do wrong things, and we'll meditate every day, we'll give up vices and make our life and also heart in a very healthy condition. It's very important. Any other question is there? Anybody has any question?
I want a microphone. Somebody want to ask question. Any question?
Medical students, it's very important you inculcate the understanding of spiritual care right in the student age. It's also okay to take it afterwards, but it is easier and better when your minds are young and flexible and enthusiastic and dynamic. At that time, if you understand and adopt the principles of spiritual care, it is an excellent basis for your future wonderful, exemplary medical practice.
Somebody want to ask any question? Seminar?
Sir, you want to have any comments? Anybody like to have any comment? Okay. If there are no questions, I would like to show you a film.